This is the Jason Greger Show Archives and Podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev. It's your choice, and the choice is good. Interest savings of $5,000 to $15,000 right now, and Lakewood Chev will give you the best customer experience. Go to Google Reviews or DealerRater.com, and you'll see that Lakewood is number one. Let's get to Kristen Shilton now from TSN. Join us. Kristen, welcome back to the show. Of course, Leaf fan. Well, hey, it'd be no different in Edmonton. McDavid's missing a game. They'd freak out. Well, Austin Matthews is out. And I hear in some reports that it might be more than one game. What happened?
Yeah, you know, he left morning skate early the other day, and he ended up playing on Monday night, though, but it wasn't really himself. Told us after the game that he had a lingering issue that had been going on since around the start of the season when it first flared up, was aggravated in that St. Louis game on Saturday, and then wasn't at practice yesterday. He's not going to play tonight. I would not be surprised if he is actually held out through the weekend back-to-back that they have coming up against Boston. Just because you look at their schedule next week, they have 4 days off, Sunday through Wednesday. So if it is something like a, let's say, like a back issue or something of that nature where it could, you know, sort of snowball into something worse if he pushes it too hard, then, you know, it makes all the sense that you would want to make sure that he's fully rested and he's feeling good. This is just early November right now for the Leafs. They, you know, they're thinking big picture. They want to make a playoff run this year. They feel like they're capable of that. So it's much more important that Matthews will be feeling good come April and maybe perhaps into May than right now. So they can afford to be cautious with him now. So I wouldn't be surprised if tonight's just the first of two or three games that he sits out for.
So what happens now? Does everyone just bump up one spot, then Marleau jumps to center?
Well, you know, they've had Marleau at center, in and out of center for the last six or seven games. The Leafs haven't obviously been playing very well. They had that brutal road trip out west, 1-3-0 on that trip. And it's a little bit different, I think, than just the guys moving up. Marleau's, you know, he has been a center before in his career. They brought him here to be a winger. He's been good, you know, for where he's at right now, being at center. But if he ends up getting those top line minutes, that'll certainly be a challenge for him. He'll have James Van Riemsdyk and Zach Hyman on his wings. So that'll be a different challenge for Hyman as well, moving from the left to the right. He's probably their best forechecker, and they're playing a very good forechecking team tonight in the Minnesota Wild. So that top line matchup will certainly be important. I think with everything else, it's guys who are pretty familiar with each other. There's been so much line shuffling these last six, seven games that it's almost beneficial to the Leafs at this point with Matthews out that they have some familiarity playing with different guys over these last few games. They know each other a little bit better than they might if they hadn't had all of the line juggling that's gone on. So there'll definitely be more pressure, I think, on Marleau and then on William Nylander as well. He is in a bit of a goal slump right now. I don't think he's scored in about eight games, but this would be his time. You know, he feels like he has more to give, that he hasn't been playing very well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him step up here and sort of grab hold of that ice time that Matthews will leave in his wake.
Kristen Shilton joins us from TSN in Toronto. Leafs taking on Minnesota tonight. No Austin Matthews for all of you fantasy players, and might be out on the weekend as well. Then they have 4 days off. Mitch Marner, only one goal so far in 8 points this season. You know, he had 61 points last year. Is this a sophomore slump? Has he got no luck? Is he just not doing the same things? What's up with Marner's overall game?
Well, you know, I think part of it is luck a little bit. He has been a bit snake bit in front of the net. He's had great chances, just hasn't been able to bury them. I've been impressed with him over these, these last six, seven games as well, where he's really been, whenever he's on the ice, it feels like he's creating some kind of chances for himself. So I think they're there. He just hasn't been able to get them in. And really his line mates last year was Tyler Bozak and James Van Riemsdyk. The three of them just, you know, they weren't great defensively, but this year their defensive play really was just in the spotlight early. It wasn't good. They were getting scored on a lot, and so that line blew up, and now Marner's been on the fourth line. He's been on the second line. He's moved around a bit, and I think that that's hurt him as well, that being in that, you know, being with those two guys that he had great chemistry with, I think helped him a lot last season and really helped to inflate his numbers, and vice versa. James Van Riemsdyk had the best season of his career points-wise playing with Marner, but that the chemistry just wasn't quite there for the three of them coming back into this season. I'm not sure why that was, but I think that's been a big contributing factor for him. And the other thing is just that he tries to do too much with the puck. He tries to make the pretty play and the pretty pass when, you know, sometimes you just got to put it on net and let a rebound come to somebody. That's how, you know, you're going to score, especially with this team, with where they're at right now, where they're not really getting their cycle going very often. Just get pucks to the net. Don't worry about trying to do too much with it or get too many touches on it. You know, you think about back to last year for Marner, he was actually leading the rookie points race before he went down with an injury in February. So he has that ability in him. It's just getting the confidence with new line mates, you know, to really bring that out of himself. Again, I've seen good flashes of it lately, just hasn't quite been able to bury them. But I feel like once he gets one, then it'll be that situation where they just start to come in bunches.
When I've watched the Maple Leafs play, the thing I see about their defense is just maybe a little bit slow to pucks, maybe indecisive at times, but just, you know, making quick plays, whether it's stopping a cycle or making a quick pass. Is that a fair assessment of the group as a whole?
I think it is. I think that's definitely some of their issue. Another big issue for this back end is that they really don't talk to each other enough. And you can see that in games that Ron Hainsey, he talks a lot. He's a vet. Roman Polak, when he's in the lineup, he talks a lot, but you don't hear a lot of that happening, and you see a lot of miscues with them because they think that their partner is going to be somewhere else, and then, or they think that they can, you know, put an outlet pass somewhere, or that they have a guy in a position where he isn't, because there just isn't enough communication. And talking to Hainsey about that, you know, on the Californian trip, is he said that they need to do more of that. They need to be letting each other know where they are, and that's going to make up for a lot of those plays where guys are unsure. They're not sure, should they be going for the puck? Is someone else going? You know, what are we? It's there's too much disorganization with this group too often. I think especially that was so prominent in St. Louis, where you'd have both guys on one side of the ice and neither of them were actually covering anybody because they just didn't know who they're, you know, where they were supposed to be. And part of that is on the coaching as well. You know, if they don't know where they're supposed to be, but if there was more talk, more communication, I think that the talent is there probably more than they get credit for. It's just a matter of working as a unit and getting on the same page and not being afraid to, you know, to yell at your partner on the ice or just let him know where you are, things like that. They'll get there. I think there's been some good improvement, especially with Morgan Riley playing with Hainsey. Hainsey loves to talk, and you can see the difference that's made in Morgan's game. I think he's playing the best that he's played in his career over these first 16 games. So that will come to the other two pairings as well, I think.
Now, their defense, you know, there's some concerns. You know, there's a lot of talk. The Leafs got to improve their defense. I was surprised in the offseason that was the one area they didn't improve on, because they clearly have enough scoring. They feel like they've got the goaltender. They didn't really, you know, they brought Ron Hainsey in, but they still need more on the back end. There's lots of rumblings. They've got some guys who are potential UFAs in the future, but do you see a big trade coming in the future for the Leafs to solidify their defense?
To be honest, I think that the sense that I got in the summer was that, you know, they tried to make a couple of moves and nothing really worked out. And it was almost like they decided, okay, we have these players coming up in our system that we like. We have Callie Rose and we have Travis Dermott. We have Timothy Liljegren. They're young players, of course. They're still, you know, at least for Liljegren's case, too raw for the NHL, but they like the players that they have coming up through their system. And it almost seemed like there was a sense, well, if we can't get the right deal and we can't get one that works on both sides, then we'd rather just, you know, do our best with who we have and then, you know, wait for these young players to develop and have them come up. But in terms of a trade now, I mean, you look at JVR and Tyler Bozak, Leo Komarov, those are three, you know, older going to be UFAs on July.
Chris,
you trade out. Sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I think if there's going to be a trade, it would probably be for a guy that they felt they either wouldn't want to re-sign or if they didn't think they'd be able to re-sign him. I could see them doing something in that sense, but from talking to people over the summer, the Leafs were pretty specific about the return that they wanted for their guys. And if they don't feel like they can get that, if they feel like there's too much of an ask, then they're fine with the defense that they have, such as it is, and the mistakes that they make. And, you know, they can be a rough unit at times, but in the end, they feel confident in the players they have coming up, and they feel like they have enough right now that they can, you know, get through until those guys are ready to come up and then take those spots from the UFAs who will eventually move on.
Kristen, appreciate your time. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much.